Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're familiar with Dom, make some noise.
Please make some noise.
Dom Peebles.
Billy
brilliant, Tom. Brilliant gentleman. The most successful black real estate developer in American history.
Absolutely.
One of the most successful real estate developers in the world. He probably doesn't want me to say this, but because when we asked him, he kind of like...
It's not about that.
Yeah, but it's important because so many people probably are not familiar with his story. Mm-hmm. And we need to be familiarized with people that have wealth, because it's not only inspirational, motivational, but it can actually steer the direction of where you want to go with your career. Yeah. You don't necessarily have to be an athlete or entertainer to reach a high level of success. So, you know, Forbes said that he was worth $900 million. That was 10 years ago. But if you know how Forbes does their recording, you have to cooperate with them.
Shout out
and
to Forbes.
He stopped cooperating with them 10 years ago. So, I mean, you know, you can kind of gauge it from there.
Add that number up with the one I said before?
Yeah. So, you know, it's very important that we understand, you know, that this is somebody that has reached that level, that billion-dollar level, not by any means of athletic ability or entertainment, mm-mm, but through real estate development. And was working on building the first black owned and black developed skyscraper in Manhattan called the Affirmation
Tower. Clap it up for that, please.
Yeah.
So without further ado, we will bring out Don Peebles. Cash rules everything around me. Very fitting. Very fitting.
Clap it up for this great brother again.
Yes.
Give me more energy for him.
This is a legend, y'all.
Yes, yes. I told him when I met him, my dad brought me his book, The People's Principle, when I was probably a teenager. So if anybody has not read that book, it's extremely, extremely good read. And I highly recommend that you read that book. That's one of the must read when it comes to financial literacy, business and investing. So thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Great to be here.
So let's get right into it. So how do you feel the investment market holds for Q1 of 2023? Like, what's your outlook for Q1 of 2023?
Time of opportunity. I just heard the Einstein of Wall Street on, and I agree with his concept, but if I think back, I mean, history repeats itself constantly. So if you go back to between 1978 and 1981, the Federal Reserve raised the interest rates from 6% to 18%.
Jesus.
And the market kept functioning until it didn't, because people didn't catch the interest rates, the economy didn't adjust to the interest rates. But then the interest rates started going back down. And by 1987, I bought my first house and I paid $925,000 for it. And I got a mortgage on it from Citibank that was indexed with LIBOR, and the rate was 9.25%.
Wow.
So I was able to buy a house, pay 9.25%, and feel good about it. So what will happen is that interest rates were just way too low. So for example, that house, if I were buying it 2 years ago, if I had the same money that I was paying on debt service, which in that instance was almost $100,000 a year, that would have bought me a $5 million mortgage. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, how much does real estate appreciate and how much does it fluctuate based on interest rates? And interest rates have a lot to do with home values, because people borrow money to buy their homes, and real estate overall is a leveraged business. And so interest rates affect valuation very quickly.
I see Troy over there. I know that look.
No, you got it.
You sure?
Yeah, go ahead. We'll pull it like this.
I want to ask a question that everyone in the audience wants to know. Let's say we're starting from scratch, and let's just say I was your best friend. How do we get rich in real estate from 2023 to 2025? Is that what you guys want to know?
Please.
How do we get rich in real estate, brother?
Well, look, I know a little bit of how to do it, because I started off with about $600. And then last count, I mean, you know, I was at close to $1 billion. I think I've done close. A bit better. Let's
clap that up for him. That's amazing. Years.
Very close. Yeah.
Close to a billion.
But right now we have a pipeline and a portfolio of about $10 billion of real estate. And I started off doing, my first building was $10 million.
Okay.
So real estate's a leveraged business. And so we can't be afraid to borrow. That's the first thing. I mean, I learned a long, long time ago, one of my mentors said that if you owe the bank $50,000, you can't sleep at night. If you owe them $50 million, why should you both be awake? So the idea is to get That's comfortable borrowing money.
And what interest rate would be great to borrow at?
I mean, I think it's more about income. Okay. You can do, look, in the real estate business, at the level that we operate in. So for example, let's make it easy. Let's take a half a billion dollar building. So a half a billion dollar building, we are going to get 60% in debt. Okay, so that's going to be $300 million. And then that other $200 million is equity. And I won't put up all that $200 million. I'll go to Goldman Sachs or, you know, Apollo or one of these private equity funds. And they'll put up 90% of it, and we'll put up 10%. So I'll put up $20 million. They'll put up $180 million. They are going to charge, if we were doing this right now, they would be charging what's called a preferred return of about 14%.
Okay.
And they'd be looking to earn 25% on their money. So it's really not, it's just the interest rate fluctuation just really affects equity to a degree, except when you're buying very tight deals like cap rate deals on apartment buildings. If you're buying at a 4.5% cap rate and interest rates are 6, then that's a tough deal to make, because you're not making a spread. But real estate's all about leveraging, and so your cost of capital is, you know, one function of it, but it's also what is the market value of the asset. The challenge with residential real estate on right now for, say, buying homes, is people's buying power has been diminished significantly, because
yes,
most Americans buy homes with mortgages. And so their buying power has been cut in half at a minimum, and it's sometimes more. So 6 months ago, 8 months ago, somebody could buy a $1 million home if they were making $100,000 a year. Now they got to look at a $500,000 home, and so their mindset's not there. So that would lead somebody like that to rent. And so what happens is when people can't buy, they rent, and or they can't buy what they want, they rent. And so the rental market will continue to get stronger as interest rates go up. But what will happen also is home values will go down. And so right now, we're in a time of this uncertainty. No one kind of knows what's going to happen. But the fundamentals for real estate are very good. Unemployment's very low.
Yes.
Income and salaries are high. Wages are high. There's a backlog in demand for products. So every element of the economy fundamentally is good. So it's just, are people willing to pay what it costs to buy, or will they pay a little bit more to rent and wait until there's another time? So right now, our strategic direction is that we're focused on buying, we're developing rental properties now. No, we did condos before. Now our real focus is more on rentals, except at the ultra high level, and then people are buying in cash, so they're not interest rate sensitive. Right. Mm-hmm.
So during COVID, there was this mass exodus. Everybody was leaving New York. They said the price is too high, rent's too damn high. I know you have real estate, obviously, developments out in Miami, but the Affirmation Tower is going to be here in New York City, right? We just had a midterm election. Our governor's still in place. I wonder what your thoughts are the future economy of New York and why it's so important that the Affirmation Tower is here.
Well, New York is one of, if not the greatest city in the world. So there's always a demand for New York. And what's happened is there's another generation of people who want to come here. New York got a little bit more affordable. And also, most people in New York rent. 75% of everybody who lives here rents. And so the idea that the condo market has softened up just means that the developers who can't sell those condos will now put them in the rental pool. So New York is getting younger. And I think, look, New York used to be, up until really Bloomberg came in, it was a city about creativity, it was a city about excitement, it was a city of diverse people, it was a city of, you know, different walks of life financially, just a unique melting pot. And then Mike Bloomberg, over 12 years, made it almost a Beverly Hills, or, you know, and, you know, it became a money center place, and everything was about money, it was about money. And so property values ran up, especially Mike Bloomberg's focus was attracting really rich people to come here and buy apartments. Well, they ran up the price. Mm-hmm. And so, but that has nothing to do with the fundamentals of New York. It's such a small market. So New York's not dead. It's strong. We can all see it. All the traffic, you know, we're walking around, going into the stores, you're seeing people shopping, spending money. They're going out to the clubs. Everybody's active here. So New York's going to have another big run. I mean, it's an expensive market to get into. So that makes it a bit more challenging as a real estate investor, especially an early investor.
My graduates from my school, being Forbes, bag drop.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.